Mid-Year Thoughts by Reverend Phyllis O'Connell, January 6, 2013. I love the golfing with monkeys story because it's such a metaphor for life. Just when we think plans are set, just when life seems predictable or at least manageable, and just when we're satisfied that we've kept up our end of the bargain, the unexpected happens and we're pushed off course. If there's a silver lining to this capricious aspect of life, it may be that, like it or not, by necessity, the unexpected keeps us flexible. Resiliency, it seems, is the key to almost everything, and if we believe in evolution, then we can take heart in knowing that the ability to adapt is built into the very fabric of the life force. We get arthritis, we adjust. Our children grow up, and move out, we adjust. We get divorced, we adjust. We give birth, our partner dies, we get a new job, we retire, we remarry, we get cancer, we move, we turn 60, 70, 80, 90, and we adjust. We adjust not because we want to or plan to, but because we have no choice. Maybe 2012 was a really great year for you, but that year's over, done, gone, and now it's 2013. The first Sunday in January seemed like an appropriate time for me to offer reflections on the past 5 months, and also to take this opportunity to summarize what you said the morning of our history timeline and the questions you answered. First, the questions. There were four subjects. I'm going to repeat the question and then share your top three most cited responses to each one. First question. What were you looking for when you came here? One, inspiration and spirituality. Two, community. Three, liberal values. Second question, what did you find when you got here? One, powerful services, sermons, and music. Two, significant amount of lay participation. Three, RE. Question three, what's missing for you? One, congregation-wide social justice involvement. Two, opportunities for spiritual development. Three, new members coming in. What's terrific about TPC? One, worship services and music. Two, sense of community. Three, volunteerism. She goes on to write, I want to begin my own observations from my relatively short time with you by adding to your list of what I think is terrific about this church. Number one on my list is you. You are a remarkably competent congregation. Oh, you may think, doesn't every minister say that about the congregation they serve? No. Now, before you leap to the conclusion that you must be the very best congregation in the association, let me qualify and expand on why you, the members, top my list of what's terrific. I will say that you're not the easiest congregation. That's a compliment, sort of. But you are a joy to work with because you do what you say you're going to do and you follow through and you do it well. Whether lay-led services, efficient and well-run standing committee meetings, Christmas caroling, the well-planned 300th anniversary celebrations, the weekly e-news, the website, grant writing, you take on a lot yourselves. And when you say volunteerism is one of the best things that's terrific here, you are absolutely right. And I think even more than most congregations, you care deeply about this church and are committed to the building, to this historic place, and to what happens here. You have a remarkable history, and it serves you well. Theodore Parker was one of the great thinkers and religious leaders of the 19th century, and his influence continues throughout our movement today, and he's yours. Both Lily and Bob Haney proved that you attract bright and creative ministers through the years, and that served you well. You have an absolutely beautiful sanctuary and a truly enviable music program. And maybe best of all, you know what you want more of. You said you want more opportunities for spiritual development and would like to see more congregational involvement in social justice and the greater community. These two aspects of church life are not necessarily separate, As RRR said, we are the embodiment of our visions. Gun control, the environment, immigration, human rights abuses, the privatization of water, poverty, and hunger here in Boston, all of these issues have spiritual dimensions because they begin and end with people's lives. Going forward, I think how you decide to make social justice more of a spiritual priority will help naturally forge a sense of congregational identity, enabling you to more clearly answer the questions, who you are and what you are about. I would recommend that at least you explore starting a small group ministry program here. It would provide an ongoing avenue for conversations and spiritual questions, and it's one of the best ways I know to build community in congregations, because the small groups are not made of people you know or have anything in common with. Nor are you with people who are at the same stage of life or age as you, and that's the beauty of them. Because you really get to know someone 30 years older or younger than you, someone who you never see because they teach most of the year or because they sit on the right side of the sanctuary and you, of course, are always on the left or vice versa. Small group ministry teaches the art of deep listening, something that for most of us does not come naturally or easily, and it gives you ongoing opportunities to share what is in your heart and on your mind in a safe space with people you trust in a small group led by a trained facilitator. It's worth considering. Also, at the top of your list of what's missing, and my list too, is the issue of space, handicapped access, and the potential for growth. You have three tremendous advantages. You're in Boston, Mecca to 90% of UU ministers. You're located on a corner, and not just a corner, but on a corner of the busiest street in town, and you have a beautiful historic building. It would be wonderful to stop there by extolling the virtues and advantages of this old structure, but just as in human years, age takes its toll on buildings too. One space issue that isn't often mentioned is that the office space is not adequate for a church of this size. The administrator's office is too small and too cramped to be able to work comfortably. And a minister's office needs to be large enough to accommodate small groups, committees, and families planning memorial services. It needs space for the minister's books. It also needs the privacy a minister's study requires. Currently, there's enough space to make do, but making do is not a future vision. You know better than I do that if growth is a goal, then space is a challenge. I suspect it's not obvious to anyone and any of us how these space challenges can be met, but that doesn't mean they can't be. It's probably not going to be as simple as heading off to the Container Store or even California Closets, but certainly there are people who make their living looking at space, even the smallest and most challenging space, and envisioning it in a different way. Only one person under What's Missing said they missed children in the service. I also feel there is still too much separation between RE and what's called Big Church. It's important for children and youth to feel that they are part of the whole, and for all of us to feel we are connected to and responsible for children of all ages. Not too long ago, at a minister's meeting, there was a bemoaning of the fact that our youth often don't find their way back to our church, or at least to our churches as adults. And one minister said, and I can tell you why. Conversation stopped. We were all ears. His theory, which may be too exaggerated, but at the same time was thought-provoking, is this. He said, we put our children in RE, which is often either in a different building or in a different wing of the building or upstairs or downstairs, anywhere but where worship is happening. They grow up in church schoolrooms, then they have their own youth groups and never really experience this Sunday worship. Why, he said, would they miss or come back for something they've never really experienced? If that is the reason we lose young people, then certainly children should be in church. But that's not the reason I'd like to have children hear more. For me, talking with the children or telling a children's story in the sanctuary is one of the ways I build a relationship with them as their minister. And I think it's meaningful for families to worship together, even if it's just for the first few minutes of the service. Joe and I work closely together, and this week RE committee members are hosting a dinner for parents of children to talk about what's most meaningful here for children and families. Later this month, and next month too, we'll be offering listening circles for everyone where it will be your turn to think about the great strengths of this church and the challenges ahead. A word about the challenges. I said earlier that resiliency is the key to everything, and if That's wrong, and it's not everything. At least it has to be one of the most important assets that we have as individuals and that organizations can have as groups of individuals. And the good news about resiliency, challenges, and church is that churches are, by their very nature, places of hope, places of transformation, places of renewal. This is not the same church it was when founded 300 years ago. In fact, it's not even the same religion. But it's also not the same church it was 30 years ago, or even 15. You are no longer a small fellowship of people. You are now on your way to becoming a mid-sized church, which means continually growing and adapting to the myriad of changes that will bring. A story. In one of his many books, Parker Palmer, the Quaker educator, tells the story of the time he decided to give himself the challenge of taking an outward bound course. With just a rope and a harness for support, he was expected to climb down a 110-foot cliff in three separate drops, first to the ledge 5 feet below, then to a ledge 10 feet below that, and finally the last drop was the rest of the way down. He fell heavily to the first ledge. The instructor told him to lean back and that he was leaning too close to the rock face. He did, and managed slightly better on the second drop. He writes this about the third and final drop. Step by step, I made my way with growing confidence until about halfway down, I suddenly realized that I was heading toward a very large hole in the rock, and not knowing anything better to do, I froze. The instructor waited a small eternity, and when she realized I was showing no signs of life, she yelled up, "Is anything wrong, Parker?" as if she needed to ask. To this day, I do not know the source of the childlike voice that came up from within me, but my response is a matter of public record. Quote, "I don't want to talk about it." The instructor yelled back, "Then I think it's time you learn the outward bound motto." Wonderful, I thought. I'm about to die, and she is feeding me bromides. But then she spoke words I have never forgotten, words so true they empowered me to negotiate the rest of the cliff without incident. Quote, if you can't get out of it, get into it. Maybe that's what life is asking of us, to get into it, knowing no matter what we do or how hard we try, the results of all our hard work and best efforts will never be perfect and will certainly not stay the same forever. But meanwhile, we can take joy in the process, being good sports when it's our ball, and the monkeys toss it, if it's our ball, the monkeys tossed into the rough or up on the green, and remembering that it may not be just in climbing down rocks that the journey will go more smoothly if, like Mr. Palmer, we can learn to lean back a little as we go. I want to close by reading the entire list of all that you said was terrific about Theodore Parker Church. Sense of community, sense of generosity, worship and music, the people, volunteerism, sharing values, the beauty of the sanctuary, the anniversary celebration, democratic spirit of the congregation, the sense of becoming and change, candlelight dinners, youth group, the UU principles of a liberal church. And my favorite entry, although I'm not the one who said it, potlucks. So may it be. Amen. Please join me in our closing hymn, number 40. From Theodore Parker. Please join me in the closing words. Be ours, the religion like sunshine goes everywhere. Its temple, all space, its shrine, the good heart, its creed, all truth, its ritual, works of love, its profession of faith, divine living. Please be seated.